Morning. Vayomer lo Yaakov yeomer oyd shimcha ki im Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu fought with the Sarei Shalesa of the entire night, and it was only vayarki lo yocholoi when he saw it was the day, dawn was breaking, where the Malach was forced to give Yaakov a bracha, and he told him lo Yaakov yeomer oyd shimcha ki im Yisrael. The name Yaakov implies trickery and geneva. As we discussed, throughout Esau's life, he walked around convinced that Yaakov was a thief. Yaakov was the roidif and Esau was the nerdif. First Yaakov tricked him out of the Bechira, then he stole the Bracha. So Esau was convinced that Yaakov was a thief. And this went on throughout the night, and it was only when the day dawned, which is a siman for the geula, the Sarei Shel Esav had to concede that he was wrong, and it was really he was the roidif and Yaakov was the nirdif. This concept is mirrored in the pasuk of She'eris Yisrael lo yasa avav lo yidaber chazav, which is the source of all the halachos we've been discussing. She'eris Yisrael means the remnants of Yisrael, the portion of Klal Yisrael that zoicha to the geula shelema, those are the people who will be lo yedaber chazav, people who are erulich and people who are honest. Again, we see this concept that the midah of emes is associated with the geula. The Smag explains as follows. He explains that we know that kamash barakash baruch hu lebara eluch voidoi. The ultimate goal is for kvoid shemayim. If when a Kodesh Baruch Hu brings the Geula, the Umos Olam will look at Klal Yisrael, and they'll recognize, oh, these are the people that cheated me. These are the people that were not honest in business, a bunch of Nadoffs and Rothsteins. There can be no greater Chilul Hashem. They'll be saying that a Kodesh Baruch Hu chose for himself a group of bandits and thieves. And therefore the Smag writes that for the Geula to take place, we have to be especially careful that we are zohir and honest with our dealings with the Umas Olam. And that way, the Geula would not chas v'shalom be a chilul Hashem. He adds that while this is always true, the Midah of Emes is always important, he writes that now that the Golus lasted so long, it's especially important to go l'fnim mishuras hadin, and go above and beyond our chiyuvim to make sure that we're acting in a way that's honest and does not create a chilul Hashem. Now, we've spent the past few weeks discussing different halachos of emes. The first halacha we learned is halacha of mishapara. A person makes a commitment to buy something, he pays money for it. The halacha is, although there was no contract, there's no kinyan, if he backs out, it is aser. And he deserves a curse that Misha Parmeanche Dar HaMabal, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is going to punish someone who backs out of his commitments. If he made a verbal commitment but did not pay for it, that was a concept of Mechusar Amonu. It's someone who backs out is Ein Ruach Hacham Noichi Menu, it's Aser, but Bezin can't do anything, there's no one, there's Bidei Adam, there's nothing that can be done to force him to be honest and to carry through with his commitment. Today we're going to introduce a new concept, the concept of Dover Emes Bovavoy. And although it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Hilchos Mechira, and in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tzamech Beis, and it's referred to at least by the Torah in Siman Reish and Chesh and Mishpat. Dover Emes Bovavoy, the Makar is a Sheiltis that we saw this morning in Siman in Oislam and Vav. The Rav Safra had wine to sell, he had a certain price that he needed. A buyer came in, offered him a price. Rav Safra was in the middle of laning Shema, so he couldn't respond. In his mind, he was ready to accept the offer. The price was good enough for him. But he couldn't talk. He was in the middle of davening. The buyer misinterpreted his silence and thought the offer wasn't good enough. And he raised his offer. When Rav Safra finished davening, he told the buyer that although you've raised the offer, since your initial offer was acceptable to me, and in my mind, in my heart, I was ready to accept it, I want to be a doiver emes bilvavoy, and therefore I'm going to accept your original offer. I'm not going to take the extra money. Now, clearly, this is a midas chasidus. It is not a chiyuv maker hadin. It's not like mechusar amana, where it's usur to be chayzer. If you never accepted the offer verbally, you have the right al pi halacha to back out. But a midas chasidus, which certainly is should be everyone's goal, a person should honor even his machshava, even what he thought in his mind. Now, the Bach and Simon Reish has a very interesting case. There's a halacha of anois and kli levakroi. A person buys something. He buys a tie, and he tells the person that, you know, there's no return policy, but he tells the person, listen, I want to go home and make sure it matches my, I like the way it matches my suit. And the seller says, fine, you can take it home. Takes it home, and then the person decides, you know, I don't really need another tie, it's a little too expensive, and he wants to bring it back. So what's the halacha over here? So over here, the tour writes, he has the right to bring it back, but it's a midas chasidus not to. So the Bach explains that the reason why it's not mechusar amana is because you bought it al tanai. If you said I'm interested in buying this tie, you gave a dibur. So once you give an amira, once you say you're going to buy it, you have to buy it. Over here, you said I'm going to buy it if I like it. It's conditional. If you took it home and you didn't like it, is there anything wrong with bringing it back? No. Those are the terms. You're taking it to see if you like it. The question over here is, you took it home, you liked it, but now you have another reason why you want to bring it back. So as far as mechusar amana is concerned, it's not mechusar amana. Because the seller was never samech das. He didn't know he did have a sale, he didn't have a sale. It depends. If you like it, your wife likes it, whatever the story was. Since it wasn't a guaranteed sale, there's no samechas das, it will not be mechusar amana. Nevertheless, since you took it and you did like it, then backing out is considered doiver emes bovavoy, and it's something which, at least a midas chasidus, you should not back out. Now, the Levush Mordechai has a very interesting story. A person was selling goods. He got a telegraph asking him for a quote. So he sends back a quote, $75 a piece. The telegraph operator messed up. There was a typo. And apparently, the buyer got back a telegraph telling him it was $95 a piece. He sent back, great, I'll take 10 of them. And I'm going to wire you $950. So now the seller had a problem. He was offered, the person's ready to offer $950 for these goods. On the other hand, he had really was really ready to accept $75 a piece. So the question is, as a doiver emes bilvavoy, is the right thing for, does he have an obligation to tell the buyer, listen, I was ready to sell it to you for $75, therefore that's all I want, and keep the extra $200. What? Doesn't discuss that. Obviously, if there was a no, then it wouldn't be a question doiver emes bilvavoy. But let's assume the shahr was $95, and he had been ready to give a discount. Zog levush Mordechai, it's not a problem. Why? Because the pshat of Deir Emes Bavavai is, just like Mechusar Amana, if we have a verbal agreement, even though there's no contract, I have to stick to it, I have to honor my agreement. Deir Emes Bavavai means that if there's really a meeting of the minds, you're offering 75. I'm willing to accept 75. And in my heart, and in my mind, I did accept it. But just, there was a miscommunication, you thought I said no and you offered more. There, that's Deir Emes Bavavai, you should give it to him for 75. In this case, when you were asked for a quote, and at that point, you were ready to give it for 75, was there a deal on the table now? Was there a meeting of the minds? But no. You didn't know if the buyer was interested in paying 75, you didn't know if he was interested in paying 65 or 95. You had no idea. So had you spoken it out, there wouldn't have been a deal yet. It was only what you would have told the buyer, he would have thought about it, he would have said yes. At that point, there would be a deal. But since when you made the mistake, when you were thinking about the 75, the buyer had not indicated yet he was willing to pay 75, the Levush Mordechai paskins, there's no Deiver Emes Bavavoy, and it'll be Mutter L'Chachilu to back out. Now this is a Chiddush, but one thing which I think is clear is that even when we're dealing with a concept of Deiver Emes Bavavoy, which ultimately is a concept of Midas Chasidus, it's not a Chiyuv, there are rules. We don't just say, you know, whatever you think you have to do. There are gedorim, there are rules to it. If it's within these gedorim, then there is a midas chasidus to go to honor it. If it doesn't meet these criteria, then there's no reason not to take the higher amount. Now this leads us to a bit of an interesting scenario. I gave a shiur a few weeks ago. It actually wasn't on this topic per se. It was on a similar topic. But after the shiur, someone came over and he wanted to know. You know, we're saying now there's a midas chasidus that if in your mind you're willing to accept an offer, doyvernos bovavoy, even if you're now able to get more, you should stick with the original price. We had another situation where by trei tari. Let's say I verbally agree to sell something where there's a question of mechusar amono, but then the price changes. And now I can get a better deal elsewhere. So trei tari, there was a machlokes. And many achroinim paskin, that if the market changes, I have the right to back out, even though I gave you a verbal okay, because the facts changed. And we said then from the Aruch HaShulchan, that although the halacha I could be chayzer, it is a midas chasidus not. So the person came over after the shir. And he had a similar situation. He had a house on the market. He verbally agreed to accept a certain price. And now things change. He was able to get a higher price. And he wanted to know, does the midas chasidus apply to him? Now, this person happened to have been in the construction industry. Now, as many of you know, today, people in the construction industry are not necessarily rolling in dough. It's a very challenging industry these days. And the week before, coincidentally, someone had approached me and asked me if I was able to, he knew that this gentleman that was asking the question was behind on his tuition a couple of months, and wanted to know if I can speak to some neighbors and try to raise some funds for this person. So here's the question. On one hand, he made a verbal commitment to sell it at a certain price. The market changed, and now he can do better. Trei tari, we said, halacha, you can back out. He said, the midas chasidus natu. Does a person have the right to be machmir on this midas chasidus if he has chayvus, if he has creditors that he can't afford to pay back? Or do we say no? You're being machmir on someone else's cheshbon. Now, if the case was, which you know, very unfortunately, this is very common, where he may owe tuition, he may have bali chayvus, but if he gets more for the house, this is going straight to his vacation fund. So that it's not a shaila. Obviously, he has to do what's right over here, and that's not the question. But what happens, and this is the situation, this was an erlich yid. He had a very simple lifestyle. If he had more money, extra cash, it would go to pay back his creditors. So what's the right thing to do in this situation? Now, it's self-evident that there's no heter to rob a bank to pay a chuv. You can't do an iser simply because you owe someone money and you can't pay them back. On the other hand, if it's not a question of doing an iser, it's a question of you have a chumrah, or even a chumrah which in halacha you should be doing, but it's a chumrah, it's not required up in halacha, then it's very mistavra, you can do the chumrah with your money. But if the people who are losing out are the creditors, then it's not so posh. And I would think, I'm saying it's halacha v'loy l'maisa, but I would think that you don't have the right to be machmir if ultimately it's coming out of someone on someone else's cheshbon. Where it gets a little bit interesting is the Rabbeinu Yoina in Mishlei that we have in the Maror Mekoyimus. He's talking about the Midah of Emes. And he brings up the concept of Dover Emes Bovavag. And he makes a very interesting point. He says we find in the Lashon Chazal two separate concepts. Sometimes we're dealing with a matter, and it is a midas chasidus. Midas chasidus, Rabbeinu Yoina explains, it means if you don't do what you didn't do anything wrong, you didn't do an iser, you didn't do anything ra. A midas chasidus, someone who is a chasid, someone who is mahader, always to do things outside of yiras hatov, which we should all be, but that is a midas. Such a person would go ahead and do this midas chasidus. But then continues Rabbeinu Yoina. There's a concept of a Yorei Shemayim. Some Yisurim, we say a Yorei Shemayim should be machmir. Now, what does that mean? It means a Yorei Shemayim, someone who is afraid of the Rebbeinu Shloim and realizes that if he does something wrong, there's going to be an Oynish. He shouldn't do such a thing. Zok Rebbeinu Yoina, Doive emes bovavoi is a gedor of a yorei shemayim. So Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be saying that it's not simply a question of a chumrah, of something that a chassid does, and it's an extra credit, if you will. He seems to be saying that not being a makbid on doive emes bovavoi is doing something which is wrong. It's doing something which you can't use the word iser, but you're doing something which is ra. And in that case, it's not so simple that I should go ahead and do something which is wrong simply so that now I'll have more cash available to a creditor. Now again, halacha, it's tzarachian. L'maisa, this is not brought down in Shulchan Aruch at all. Again, the Tur mentions it. The Tur happens to call it Midas Chasidus. He doesn't use the word Dari Shemayim. So I don't know if you can, based on this, Rabbeinu Yoina, go ahead and do something on the creditor's cheshbon. But it's something to think about. That's true, but if he has absolutely no money left, then you can't call him not a Yorei Shemayim. You can be the biggest Yorei Shemayim in the world. If you're flat broke, it's not a tain on you.
No, but if he can get this money to pay.
But what is can get? Is this a way to get the money? The same way I don't have to rob a bank, it's not called that I could get it. To do something which is usur, isn't that, or Yorei Shemayim shouldn't do, perhaps it's not an option. It's not one of the things on the table. So that's the question. If to me this chassidus, I think it's pashut, it would be aser. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's less clear. Again, I'm not saying halacha either way. Now, okay, let me just... There is another factor to take into account. There's a Chuvus Marashal in Simen Tzadites, which is quoted in Yerodeo, Simen Kuf Samuches, in the Taz Oysiotes. I don't know pshat in this Marashal, but at least for this case, I think you can use it. The Mechaber over there says a halacha like this. A person goes over to his friend and says that a goy asked me to borrow money from you with interest. The goy gave me collateral, a mashkin. Take this, give me the money, I'll pass it along to the goy. And then in a year from now, he'll pay you back. You'll get back the principal plus the 10%. And that's what he did. A year later, when it's time to pay back, the person comes back to the creditor and says, I have a confession to make. When I took the money from you, and I gave you this mashkin, I gave you this collateral, and I said, I'm acting on behalf of a goy, it wasn't true. I needed the money. I took it for myself. The collateral that you have belonged to me. And therefore, I'm going to give you back the keren, the principal, but I can't pay you anything extra. That would be rivus. So halacha is, the malva has the right to say, nothing doing. I don't believe you. A year ago, you told me you were acting on behalf of a goy, and this belonged to a goy. Hadas baldin kmei edim dami. I believe that. I think now you're just pulling some sort of fraud, and therefore you want your mashkin back. You have to pay me the ribbis, because as far as I'm concerned, it came from a goy. No. If you don't need a heteriska, because when you came originally, you said you were acting as an agent for the goy. That means the money is being lent to a goy. Everything verbal. That's where all the problems are. What? Well, he has a mashkin. He has collateral. So Zog the Marshal. Marshal says, I don't understand. He says it depends on the case. If the borrower was a wealthy person, and he was doing this just for, and he's, according to his story now, he was just taking this extra money to invest, to make some more money, then I agree. But he says if the borrower was an ani, and he was desperate for money because he owed money to a guy who was coming after him, or there was some other hezek. He says, "There, what do you mean that eno the meis matz my rasha?" Zog the marshal, the halacha of sheir yisrael layasa avla does not apply if the person that was borrowing the money and made this misrepresentation was desperate for the money. If he owed money to a guy and he was trying to cover his bills, trying to save himself, there he says you would not be over Sheris Yisrael. Now this Marshal is a plea. He seems to be saying that Mechusar Amon is only when you don't have a good reason. But if you really need, if you're desperate, no problem, lie, cheat, do whatever you want to get the money. I don't know when to apply it or how to be magdur it. I've heard different tichuya. Maybe it was a zakana. Maybe it was a hezek. Maybe in that case, the malva had a chiyuv to lend it to you. Anyway, in kesef talva, it's a shver mashal. But I'll call upon him in this case. When you're dealing with a question of trey tari, and you're dealing with a compelling reason to back out because you have a creditor that you're not able to pay, you can be a mitzayer of the marshal and you can be mekel. And therefore, going back to our story, whether it's Zeres Bavavo or whether it's Muchos Ramona by Trey Tari, if you have creditors, L'choira, the right thing to do would be to back out, get the money, and pay off your chiyuvim. Well, even Muchos Ramona, the Marsham says over, it's really Gemara and Bechoyer's Daf Yugimel, that Muchos Ramona does not apply with a guy. And what the Gemara says is Muchos Ramona applies only when you're dealing with a Yid, and there's a verbal agreement, there's a meeting of the minds. So, as far as a Yid is concerned, the deal is done, and neither party can back out. When you're making a commitment to a guy, the same way the guy has no din of Deir Emes Bovavai, or no din of Muchos Ramona, there's nothing locking him in, there's no contract, he has every right to walk away. So the Yid that makes that commitment to him is not binding himself or locking him in more than the counterparty is. And therefore, unless it's a two-way deal where both people are locked in on Muchos Ramona, it will not apply at all. And therefore, even Muchos Ramona does not apply to a guy. You certainly have to deal with Chil Hashem. You'll have to take into account whether it will be a Chil Hashem, but as far as the halacha is in the Gedorah of Muchos Ramona, it won't apply. And especially the Makar is She'er Yisrael Lo Yasav Lo Dai B'Chosav. It's talking about a Yid. Deir Ezbavai is a higher. If even Muchos Ramona doesn't apply, L'Chor Deir Ezbavai won't either. What you're really doing is you're asking a question on Mechusar Amonah. Because Mechusar Amonah itself, the point is, or if the Makar is from Hinshel Chatzedek, then that should apply regardless of the counterparty. In which case? It sounds like a nice thing to do. I can't point to any halacha in Shulchan Aruch that would be mechayev you to do that, but it certainly sounds like a nice thing to do. Now, just to go on to another example where we find the Mechusar Amonah, we make certain cheshbonos. We mentioned 2 weeks ago that in Yerideya there's a whole discussion of Mechusar Amonah as far as giving a bris. You're mechabit someone to be a moyel, to be a sandik, and then you want to back out. The halacha is Mechusar Amonah. Once you offered someone the kavod, you have to carry through with it. What happens if you offer one person the kavod? You tell him he's going to be the sandik. The person goes out of town, and now you know the child was sick, the person went out of town, and then suddenly you decide to do the bris, so you get someone else. Now you have two conflicting commitments. So we discussed the halacha was you give it to the first person because we assume the second commitment was only done by mistake. You didn't realize that the first person would be back in time. That's why you made the commitment. But now that he's back, you give it to the first person. Zok the Aruch HaShulchan, that's only true if before the bris, both people come. You realize you have a conflict. So then you give it to the person who you promised it to first. However, what happens if the second person already travels from wherever it was, he already came to the shul, and to make it dramatic, he's holding the baby, and then suddenly the first person shows up. He's back in town. So do you take it away from him to give it to the person you made the first commitment to? So the Zok D'Aruch HaShulchan, if you're dealing with a moyel, you promise both of them to be a moyel, he said, I have a good solution. One of them does the milo, the other one does the priya. You split the baby. For a sandik, that's not so easy. You can't have one person holding the arms and one person holding the legs. So there the Aruch HaShulchan says, although normally we give it to the first person, because you committed to him first, but once the second person is here, if you take away the child from him, that's a major bizoyan to slap in the face. He said, Godol kavod habriyos, you can't do that. And therefore, in such a case, once he's already here, then you just leave it with him and you don't give it to the first person. Now, a similar point, and this is a very common question with Mechusar Amonah, is very often a person will make a commitment. He'll commit to buy something, to do something. You'll have a seller. He's selling his house. The buyer will give him a contract. He'll look it over and say, "You know what? I'm accepting this offer. It's good as is." He then goes home. He reads through the contract a little bit more carefully, and he sees the inspection clause, the mortgage contingency clause, is very generous. And he's afraid the buyer is going to back out, so he wants to call the buyer and say, "Nothing doing." You either get rid of the mortgage contingency or the deal's off. Is this mechusar amanah or not? Now, if the seller read it, he knew what it said, and now he's changing his mind, that's clearly mechusar amanah. But in this case, the seller is saying, "I didn't read it. I didn't understand it. I didn't read it that carefully." Is there mechusar amanah in such a case? So halacha is, if I sign a contract, and then I come back the next day and say, "You know what, I know I signed this contract, but I didn't read it, and I didn't really mean to accept this mortgage contingency." Is that a good taina? No. Once you sign it, it's signed, it's a done deal. There's a chazaka, first of all, that if you signed it, you read it first. People don't sign documents without reading it. Even if you can prove you didn't read it, it's written in English, you grew up in Williamsburg and you don't read English. Still, the halacha is tough. When you sign a legal document, you are obligating yourself to whatever it says, regardless of whether you understood it or not. That's when you sign an agreement. Over here, there's nothing signed. There's a verbal commitment. How do we deal with that? Now, l'chayr, this is a mefurish of Gemara. The Gemara that we learned on Daf Mem Tes, Gemara quoted a Mishnah, that someone hired Poyolim and said, I'm going to give you mezonos, I'm going to give you food. And then, so the Gemara says that the Tana told him that go right away and back out, because unless you give kesuda shloima b'shaita, unless you give a huge suda, you're not going to be yotze. And the Gemara says this is an issue of mechusar amanah. Question is, mechusar amanah, when the person said, "I'm going to give the workers food," did he mean he's going to give like suda shloima b'shaita? Obviously not. He thought he was just going to give him food. So the answer is, he made a mistake. When you say you're going to give a poyel food, this Tano holds it means you're going to give him mamash a feast. But if it's a mistake, what's the mechusar amanah? Let him say, "I didn't mean it. I had no intention to do it." Why is there mechusar amanah? So the Ritva HaKadoshim asked this kasha. And the Ritva, he's matcha, the Gemara, he says, "Ein hachanami." He says, if you make a commitment and you don't understand the ramifications at that time, there's no mechusar amanah. Mechusar amanah is you made a commitment, now you're backing out. If there was a mistake, if there was a toss, then you cannot be held to your words. Now, because this is a question of iser v'heter, it's not a question of kinyanim, it's not a question of a contract, a person would have nemanus. If he says, "I didn't understand it," or I misunderstood it, we believe him. And we can't call him a mechusar amanah if lishitasa, according to his version of the story, according to his narrative, it was a mistake. He would have the right to back out. Obviously, it's something which is nitin l'shmayim. It's something which v'yoreisim elekecha. But if he claims it was all a misunderstanding, and had he realized what the ramifications were, he wouldn't have done it. You cannot hold him to his word. Now, another very common shayla that comes up is, and this is also it's questionable. I'll just float it out for as a question. Let's say you're buying a house. You're buying a house from a guy. Your broker happens to be a Haimish Yid. You go down, you look at the house, you negotiate. You make a verbal commitment. "Okay, I'm interested. I want the house." You think it over and you change your mind. Is that mechusar amanah or not? Now, as far as buying the house, as far as the seller is concerned, is that mechusar amanah? No. The seller is a guy. And as we pointed out before from the Gemara in Bukhayas, there's no mechusar amanah between a yid and a goy. There was no contract, there's no money changed hands, you can back out. The question is, what about the broker? Is there mechusar amanah to him? So here, I would say not. Because let's say I tell someone, "You know what, I plan on giving my neighbor in Lakewood a present." And then I change my mind. Is that mechusar amanah? No. If I told my neighbor I'm going to give you a present, it's a commitment to you. If I change my mind, that's mechusar amanah. But if I told a third party about this present, L'chayr, it's not a commitment to him, and that would not go into the Gedorah of Chosra Amon. In this case, your commitment was to buy the house. You told it to the broker, who would pass it along to the seller. Now, it's true, the broker would benefit if you bought this house, because the broker would get paid from the seller. But since the broker is not working for you, the broker is a sub-agent of the listing agent. He's getting paid by the seller, not by the buyer. And the commitment is not directly related to him. It's to a third party. It's mistavra in such a case that wouldn't be mechusar amanu. I mean, you can argue. It's not a halacha psuka. But I'll call upon him. There's a svar over here that the commitment was to the wrong person. Okay, there are two separate svaras. There's one svara that my commitment is to the buyer, to the seller. The broker, that svara would still apply. In our case, there's an additional svara that his benefit is very tangential. That argument, you're right, that will not apply. Now, I just want to end off with one last halacha, and that is, there's the Shiloh we discussed about a moil. If you promise someone or you commit, you're gonna give him a cover, you're gonna let him do the bris. So the Beis Yosef in Yerideya points out from the Mordechai says that if you back out, it's mechusar amanu. It's not a question of kinyonim. When you offer someone the right to be a moil, you're not selling him your child. He doesn't have a schus mamon to do the bris. But if you back out, there's mechusar amanu. Beis Yosef ends off, the Rosh argues. The Rosh argues and says it's motu l'chachila to back out. Comes to Darkei Moshe and says there's no machlokes. If you look at the Rosh just says that when you tell someone you can do a bris, it's not a kinyan. You want to back out, you could back out, we can't force you to go through. But zok to Darkei Moshe, everyone really agrees that although you can't force the person, backing out is considered mechusar amana and it would be aser. Based on that, there are more paskins in Reish Samach Dalet, that if you tell someone you can be the sandik, you can be the moyo, it's also to change your mind. Zok the Yad Avram. The Yad Avram comes along and says, the Darkei Moshe was based on a wrong girsa in the Rosh. The Tshuvas of Rosh, there are two Tshuvas that discuss the matter. The Ramah had the first Tshuva, which is very sawsome, it's very short. And the Rosh just says, when you tell someone you can be a moil, it's not a kinyan. You can't force it in Bezdin, you can back out. Zok the Yad Avram. There's a second Rosh in Simon in Klal Kuf Yud Beis. There the Rosh speaks out a bigger chiddush. The Rosh says that the whole din of mechusar amana is only when you have something where there could be a kinyan. If you made a kinyan, if you did a kinyan, so the deal would be done. If I don't make a kinyan, but I made a verbal commitment, that's mechusar amanu to back out. However, what happens if we're dealing with a kinyan dvarim? When I tell someone you could do a bris milah, that's not something, it's not mumminous. You can't make a kinyan on such a thing. You can't sell your child for a bris. Since it's not a davar shel mamon, the Rosh says mechusar amanu will not apply. What? That he doesn't discuss. Okay, hold on. Good. So, what is the Rosh saying? The Rosh is limiting this whole halacha of mechusar amanu. It's a halacha in dini mamonis. It's in choshen mishpat. You have a deal where you don't make a kinyan, but if there's a verbal agreement, mechusar amanu. But the moment you're dealing with something which is not a davar shel mamon, you're dealing with a kinyan dvarim, you can do a bris milah, you can be a sandik. That's not something which you can buy or sell or have a kinyan. There the Rosh holds, there would be no mechusar amanu whatsoever. Now, halacha, it's a little bit interesting because the Ramah, Lamaisa Paskins, it is Mechusar Amanu. The Aravram and the Marshag and the Mechaspitim all point out the Psak is based on a wrong Girsa in the Rosh. But nevertheless, the Ramah says it's Aser, the Taz says it's Aser, and many of the Gedolei Achronim say that it's Aser. So the vast majority of Paskim say, even though the Ramah may have had the wrong Girsa in the Rosh, still, once it's a halacha psuka, once you have so many gedolim, gedolei achronim passing like that, we follow the psak anyway. We don't try to outsmart and say since it was a mistake, the whole psak is batal. So come out all the place can pass in as halacha l'maisa, that Mechus Rabbanu will apply even in cases which are not mominous. But what comes out is an amazing chiddush. I think there are many people who, they're erlicha people. You know, if you meet them in shul, their word's a word, you can count on them, the friends and family, what they say they do. Somehow, when they get to their office and they're sitting behind their desk and they're in business, they have a whole different personality. And suddenly they become ruthless business people who you have to watch your back, you have to make sure everything is in writing and signed and documented, because you never know what he'll do to make a couple of bucks. It comes out, lahalacha, that it's punk faker. That whenever you're dealing with a business deal, whenever you're dealing with dine mominus, there everyone agrees, if you make a commitment, you back out, that's mechus ramon. When you walk away, when you're not dealing with a davar shamomen, when you're dealing with be my moyel, be a sandik, a kavoid, something bein adam mechaveroi, there it's very debatable. And according to the Rosh, and according to the Yad Avram, the whole Isra mechus ramon will not apply. So I think it's something to walk away with, that fakert, that a person has to be even more careful in his business dealings than other issues. Certainly, again, it's emes and sheker. There's a whole sugya. The right thing to do is for a person to be honest in all of his dealings, but it's especially true when we're dealing with inyanim mamis.